tired, I'm worn. My heart is heavy from the work it takes to keep on breathing. I've made mistakes. I've let my hope fail. My soul feels crushed by the weight of this world. And I know that you can give me rest. So I cry out with all that I have left. Let me see redemption win. Let me know the struggle ends. That you can mend a heart that's frail.
Yeah, she's a- Welcome, Hope Show listeners. I want to thank each and every one of you for joining me here on the Hope Show today. It is going to be a good day. I hope all of you have had a good week, and even if you think you've had a hard week, there is still always something to be grateful for. We should be grateful that the Lord just woke us up each and every day of this week. That is something to be grateful for, that in itself. That is something to really be grateful for, you know, because that, you know, some people don't have another day. You know, some people don't wake up every day. And so, anyway, I'm sure that we can think of quite a few things good that has happened this week if we just put our mind to it. And I don't know about any of you out there, but I am getting spring fever. Spring is my favorite time of the year. It reminds me of a new start, a fresh do-over. Things are coming back to life after a hard winter. In my location, spring is right around the corner, and so is nicer, warmer weather. Along with that comes the mowing the yards and things, which I'm not extremely looking forward to, but anyway, the nicer, warmer weather, yes, I am. And this gives me gardening fever as well. But enough about all that. Today's message is Jesus enough? I know that might sound like an odd question, but seriously, what if on this earth, and some of you may be already experiencing this right now, would Jesus be enough in your life if you suffered day and night, every day, till God called you home? Would Jesus be enough in your life? Would you still follow Jesus? Or would you put certain conditions on whether you would still follow Jesus or not? I don't want you to be too quick to respond with a yes. Let's really think about this for a while. But before we get started, I would like for us all to bow our heads in an opening prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us all here today to hear your message and worship together. But that is not enough. The time has come for all of us to come back to you completely alone and with nothing but a willing heart to desire you and you alone. Dear Heavenly Father, when we take our last breath, it will only be you before us. Please forgive us for putting conditions on you and for putting so many other priorities before you. Please help each of us to come to you every day in our brokenness and enter into your presence. May we always seek you first in all that we do, before we do anything else in this world. May our hearts desire always be with you. Dear Heavenly Father, please anoint this vessel, and may the words I speak come from you and you alone. Thank you in advance for these answered prayers, and in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, Amen. Thank you for joining me in that opening prayer. So, shall we begin? So let's go back to that question before the opening prayer. If God were to call you, would you follow Jesus? If you suffered day and night till God called you home, would you still follow Jesus? Would your salvation alone be enough to follow him? Now, before you answer that, let me share a few things with you. We all will struggle in our life. None of us know in what capacity. For some of us, it may be something like we struggle our whole life financially. For some of us, it might be that we are told that we will never bear a child. For some of us, it might be that we will struggle to find the right person to share our lives with. And for some of us, it might mean that we struggle with chronic pain our entire lives until God calls us home to be with Him in heaven. The numbers might be higher now, but I researched the numbers of individuals in the world that suffer with chronic pain. And I'm not sure what year this came out, so like I said, the numbers may be higher now. But at least 1.5 million people, one out of every five people, suffer with pain day in and day out, every day of their lives. to me, that's just a staggering number. It is easy to ask, why me? Or try to bargain with God. If you will take the suffering from me, then I will do this. You fill in the blanks to make it your own. For some of us, a condition we might put upon God might sound like this. I will follow you as long as, but if you take my child, then I am done with anything Christianity. But the truth of the matter is this. Following Jesus Christ will always cost you something. And sometimes it may be your very life. So again, my question is Jesus Christ enough? If I get a terminal illness, if I lose my job, if I can't pay my rent, if my spouse leaves me, if I get in a car wreck and lose both of my legs, if I lose a child due to death, if I lose my career because of some unforeseen event, if I lose my house and all of my belongings to fire, will you, still follow Jesus? Why should we, you might ask? And the answer is this. Because our love of God should not be about what we think God should be doing for us. Friends, He already did it all for us when He hung on that cross and died for us. That is a very dangerous place for our minds to go. Would you give up all you have to follow Jesus? If you hesitate, then you have a heart, mind, and soul problem that needs to be resolved with God. So, if that's the case, like I said, you have a problem within yourself that you have to resolve between you and God. If God doesn't come through for you in a way that you want Him to in your life, will you still follow Him? There are some very serious and tough questions. There are plenty of stories in the Bible where different people have put their whole trust and faith in God when their situations have seemed completely impossible. And one such example is found in Daniel 3:16-18. Three young Israelite men vowed to only worship the true God, not the false gods of King Nebuchadnezzar. These three men were Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They would not bow down to a statue that the people made for the king, so they were thrown into a fiery fire. An angel was with them, and they came out not even smelling like smoke. Could any of us live up to that statement? Daniel 3:16 reads, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and He will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if He does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold that you have set up. That is a powerful story in the Bible, where these three men stood their ground, and they never faltered in their faith of God. When we're in the midst of a struggle that we don't understand, our minds may wander to such questions as, has God forgotten me? Does He hate me? Why does He seem to hide Himself from me? We want God to hear our plea, our prayers. We want God to answer us in person sometimes. Job of the Bible was once such a person. Job was blameless and upright, a man of such integrity that even God liked to show him off. If anyone deserved blessings, Job did. Yet one day, God puts him into the ultimate test. Job's life falls to pieces with one calamity after another coming down on him, relentlessly. Raiders sweep his fields. His livestock are captured and are destroyed. His servants are put to the sword. A house collapses on his sons and daughters, killing them all. Disease strikes him, and he is covered with painful sores from the soles of his feet to the top of his head. In all of this, he still patiently submits to God, only to be mocked by his wife, who tells him he should curse God and just die. What a horrible thing for a wife to tell their husband. And it's horrible advice, too. Really? Curse God? What was she thinking? Friends arrive. Still, he remains patient. For days, his friends sit with him in silence, all the while seeing how greatly he suffers. But the day finally came when Job could not contain himself any longer. Out of grief and suffering, he cries out, wishing that he had never lived. He still didn't curse God, but he curses the day he was born. The curse demeaned his life as he had previously known it. It implied that his joy, his home, his peace, and the lives of his children had never meant a thing, just because now they were gone. Listening to all of this was too much for Job's friends. They rebuked him, and they lectured him, and they just kept scolding him for the things coming out of his mouth. The friends told him that his suffering was punishment for sin in his life. And since Job is in agony, then they believed that he must have done something very terrible to be suffering this way. His friends believed that he must be hiding something, that he was only pretending to be good, when he really must be a hypocrite. Job has many questions for God, and eventually God answers his questions by asking Job a series of well-thought-out questions that made Job truly stop and think about his own actions. It's important to remember that not all suffering is our fault. Sometimes we don't deserve what happens to us, yet sometimes we do bring suffering upon ourselves. For instance, adulterers destroy their homes. Drunks destroy their lives. Squanderers waste away their wealth. Yes, terrible things happen. Things that we don't deserve. Things that don't make any sense and appear to be senseless acts of suffering. In God's justice, God understands that it will seem unjust to us. He does not even try to give us answers because we would not understand them anyway. Instead, God visits us as he visited Job. Is he not God after all? He is a better answer than the answers would have been. He is the only possible answer. Listen, friends, though we find ourselves buried in a deeper dark than night, from the midst of the whirlwind, God still speaks to us. Our brokenness requires divine intervention. We can't do it by ourselves. Jesus was God himself in human flesh, fully God, fully man. Most people have heard his story. He was a great teacher, performed miracles, healed the sick. He suffered and died on the cross for our sins, and he rose again. What is less well known to the human populace is what all of this is about. Some say that God didn't suffer. They are wrong. In Jesus, the human form, God suffered. That was one of the purposes of why he became one of us, to suffer with us. Even though he had no sin of his own, Jesus identified with us so completely that he took the burden of our inward brokenness upon himself. He understands all that you are going through because he has bore it all, the whole weight for all of us. By dying, he took it to death, and by rising, he opened for us a way through him to life. On the cross, Jesus cried out. He felt so alone and in agony. Matthew 27:46, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus knew his purpose here on earth. He paid the price that we cannot pay. In Matthew 11:28, the Bible says, come unto me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Friends, the Bible is not a fable. It actually happened. It's really true. We must focus on God and trust in Him completely. Our suffering isn't meaningless because it is lifted up into His own suffering and redeemed. In a little over a month, we will be celebrating Easter. We will be celebrating the hope we have in Jesus Christ. And we will be celebrating His resurrection. For some of us who are dealing with something chronic or something that feels impossible to overcome, it is oftentimes hard to connect to something that happened so many years ago. Over 2,000 years ago, to be exact. Maybe right now you can relate to this. Perhaps you have lost a child, find yourself in bad health, suffering a disability of some sort, or you can fill in the blanks for your own situation. Perhaps you are crying out right now, today, God, please help me. Where are you? Although you know intellectually that God is with each of us, experientially, He just feels silent and distant. But the truth of the matter is, despite how many times God lovingly intervenes and provides dramatic answers to our prayers, performs miracles, there are other times when God allows our situations to go from bad to impossible so that when we do come back from that horrible dark place, we and others will give God all the credit and the glory, because we know that without God, we couldn't have pulled ourselves up out of whatever we're going through in our lives. Some people ask, why does a God who loves me allow me to go through so much pain? We ask this because we are hurting in some way, and we ask God to rescue us. We expect Him to show up and save the day for us. We know He is all-powerful God, but when He doesn't show up in the way that we want or on our time-set schedule, we get confused, we get angry, or afraid. But that is not how God works. He doesn't work on our time schedule according to our expectations to fulfill our agenda. What we need to realize is that sometimes God has an even bigger gift in store for us than solving our problems. Rebuilding your life with chronic illness begins by first seeking God. A diagnosis of chronic illness or some other disability that prevents you from being who you once were can bring feelings of denial and anger and grief. But at some point, the emotions subside and you are faced with the harsh reality that life may not be like you had always thought it would be. When things of this nature happen to us, it can rob us of our sense of identity and purpose. You may ask yourself, do you even stand a chance of rebuilding a meaningful life for yourself? But folks, it all starts with God. Many people go about living their lives, maybe not as they once thought they would, but in a new way. Something like this happening to you does not have to be a death sentence. Attitude is everything. And without God, you and I can't do anything. Without God, we are nothing. But with God, all things are possible. Some people will lie down in total defeat and not even try to better their situation, while others with same or similar problems will fight harder because they refuse to let this thing defeat them. It is all in how you perceive the cup. Is it half full or half empty? Sometimes when someone is facing a game changer situation in their life, they have to become more determined to find a way to make things work out in a positive way for them. Allowing yourself to become depressed or camp out there for too long isn't going to solve anything. So let's get creative on how we plan to still do God's will for our lives. You know, people are watching us all the time. Even when you think no one is, trust me, they are. Even in your own homes, your family is watching you. What kind of example will you be for them? You never know. God may be calling you, in your particular struggles and suffering, to be a lighthouse for someone else who is struggling in similar ways as you. How are you going to be a lighthouse for someone else if you have such a negative attitude about where you are at in your life right now that you can't even see any positive? I would like to make some suggestions. First, seek God through prayer and His Word, His counsel. Find meaning and purpose in your life is critical for your spiritual and emotional health. In prayer, ask God to reveal His Spirit, His purpose for this season in your life. Don't be afraid to step out and try new things. Have you ever wanted to take an art class, go to college, write a book, etc.? This might be the perfect time to start a new adventure. In keeping with that thought, this also seems like the perfect time to go to a short break. So after this break, please come back and join me again, and I hope you enjoy these next two songs.
You saved me at the cross, and for eternity, the story of your love.
Distant thought, you take my pain and you lead me to the cross. What love is this that you gave your life for me and made a way for me to know you? And I confess,
and thank you for joining me here on the Hope Show today, and I hope you enjoyed the music that was played on the break, and I'm very happy that all of you have decided to tune in to today's message with the Hope Show Returns. If you are just tuning in, today's message is Jesus enough? What if on this earth, and some of you may be experiencing this right now, what if on this earth you suffered day and night until God called you home? Would Jesus be enough in your life? Would you still follow Jesus? Or would you put certain conditions on whether you would still follow Jesus or not? It's a serious question. Some of you might say right now, yes, of course, I would always follow Jesus. He would be enough to sustain me all the days of my life. But if something were to happen to you today, would you still feel the same way, say 5 or 10 years down the road? And that is what we are talking about today. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." In many ways, suffering is still a mystery to all of us, one that we never fully understand on this side of eternity. But we have God on our side, and we have His instruction manual, the Bible, to read and to live by. Before the break, I was giving you some suggestions on learning to cope with chronic illness, and the first suggestion was to continually seek God. The next suggestion is to ask yourself some important questions like, what am I passionate about? What is it about my life right now that I can share with others who may be dealing with similar situations? Friends, it's time to reshape your mind in a different way and not let this get you down. Let's say, for example, as a young person, you dreamed of coaching a basketball team. Perhaps you succeeded, and then something happened to you one day, and all those dreams were changed forever. Chronic illness may keep you from coaching, but dig down deep inside yourself and come up with another plan that still would allow you to do something that follows along with those broken dreams. In this example, maybe you could use your photography skills to capture those winning moments in basketball. Friends, you have to be creative. You have to learn to be creative. You can't just sit around feeling sorry for yourself and letting life pass you by. Another suggestion is to learn all you can about your condition. Educate yourself so that you can better help yourself. Take some calculated risks. Rebuilding your life requires that you explore your options. Of course, it can be scary to go outside your comfort zone. Maybe go back to college at an older age. But why not? Why can't you go back to college just because you're older? Why can't you do something that you thought you couldn't do? While you may not succeed at everything you try, the experiences will enrich your life and give you something else to talk about besides your illness. Another suggestion is, eliminate toxic people from your life. Nothing is more draining on us physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually than being in a dysfunctional relationship with someone and when you're battling something like a chronic illness. Who needs that? You need constant positivity in your life. So learn to establish some healthy boundaries for yourself. It's a fact of life that people are going to disappoint you and fail you. People oftentimes don't set out to do this to one another, but it's our human flesh. We all fall short of God's glory. Learn to forgive these people in your life and move on. Don't dwell on the negativity. It's hard to be in a place where your mind or your body has given out on you. I'm sure it is easier sometimes to just settle in life. But you have to pick yourself up and know that you are better than that. God created you. He made you to be better than that. Whatever is going on in your life story, it doesn't end here. It doesn't end because your life takes a terrible twist in a different direction. It's now more than ever. You have to get back up again, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. If you let Satan have his way in your life, you will drown. He will suck every bit of your life left in you right out of your body. And all that will be left is a skeleton of your old self. Learn to choose between just good and the very best. Don't settle. This is not the end of your story. God plans to use whatever is going on in your life for a purpose. You have a purpose. Even now, and always and forever, you have a purpose. Everyone has gifts and talents. It doesn't matter what thing is going on in your life right now. You still have gifts and talents. You have to tap into those gifts and talents. Perhaps you're thinking, I don't have any gifts or talents. You're so wrong. There is something that you can do better than someone else. We all have gifts and talents. It's up to us to figure out what God has given us and tap into it. Everyone, even those who suffer a lot of pain, have a lot to contribute. It's critical for your well-being that you look for ways to get out amongst your community and share what God has given you. Volunteering is an excellent way to build self-esteem, and it contributes to feelings of value and worth. It helps to overcome social isolation and gives you a sense of belonging. Perhaps you are thinking, I can't. Yes, you can. Where there is a will, there is a way. God is the way maker and the promise keeper. He is the light in the darkness. And we will worship Him with all of our being. No matter what is going on, He is working in our lives. Don't you ever give up. God is a miracle worker. Just because you don't see where your life is going, and you don't understand why something like this has happened to you, doesn't mean that God isn't working in your life. He has a plan for each of us. He hears our pleas when we cry out to Him. He hears our prayers. He may not answer your prayers on your time schedule. You may have to wait a little while, maybe even years. But God is not done with you. He is currently working your situation out for the better. For some people, they may not see God. They may not see what God is doing in their life. Perhaps it will never be revealed. But you keep on fighting the good fight, because the next generation following you may reap what you have sown. In Matthew 5:4, the Bible tells us, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." In Romans 8:28, the Bible tells us, "And we know that in all good things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose." And how about Job 5:11? I really like this verse. "The lowly He sets on high, and those who mourn are lifted to safety." We are reminded in Hebrews 13:5 that God will never leave us nor forsake us. And in Romans 8:37 and 38, we are reminded that in all things we are more than conquerors through Him who loves us. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God. And the last verse I will share with you right now is another reminder in Ecclesiastes 3:1-8, that there is a time for everything, and a season for every activity under the heavens. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to uproot. A time to kill, and a time to heal. A time to tear down, and a time to build. A time to weep, and a time to laugh. A time to mourn, and a time to dance. a time to scatter stones, and a time to gather them, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to search, and a time to give up, a time to keep, and a time to throw away, a time to tear, and a time to mend, a time to be silent, and a time to speak, a time to love, a time to hate, a time for war, and a time for peace. Friends, life is hard sometimes, when it hurts so bad that you feel that you just can't go on. But life keeps moving. Friends, and so must you. You can't let whatever has happened to you define you for the rest of your life. I encourage all of you to take all your questions to God rather than allow them to become a wedge in your relationship with God. Friends, when we get into a righteous mindset with God, no matter what the situation is in our life, but only if we have a saving knowledge of God, suffering can produce intimacy with God. Intimacy with God is often born in the furnace of affliction. Can I get a huge amen? Amen, huh, friends? So many of you out there right now can probably relate to that. And it's during those times of suffering that we experience God at a deeper, more profound level. Suffering equips us to comfort others. Suffering gives us compassion for others who are hurting, enabling us to minister to them more effectively. Let's face it, everyone who suffers wants to hear the story of another who has suffered also. They want to hear that there is hope for them. Those who have suffered make the most effective comforters because they have experienced those things themselves. Suffering refines us. In Isaiah 48:10, the Bible tells us, "I have refined you, though not as silver. I have tested you in the furnace of affliction." How do you think you are holding up in the furnace of affliction? Are you melting, begging, and pleading for the heat to be turned down? Or for your release? Or are you saying, "Come on, turn up the heat. God's got this. I trust in God. I am going to survive." Suffering and pain have a way of bringing our strengths and our weaknesses to the surface. Suffering also produces growth and maturity. If we turn to God in our pain, He can use our suffering to mature our faith. Suffering also conforms us to God's image. While it is true that God does redeem pain in our lives, the Bible also speaks of our being conformed to God's image through our suffering. If we are willing to sit still and let God work, we will find ourselves being transformed into the image of Jesus. Yes, we wonder what purpose our suffering serves. But let me share an article with you that I read. There was a married couple, and this man and his wife Jody, was diagnosed with breast cancer. Jody suffered many years before the cancer finally took her home to heaven. But through that horrendous experience, God did incredible things. Her mother accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. God also changed friends and loved ones that cared deeply for Jody, the husband and all those who loved Jody. Their lives were enriched by Jody's suffering. Simply put, when we seek God through His Word and through prayer, we will find Him. And remember, Jesus understands our pain, because He too suffered and died for each of us. Though He was blameless and without sin, He died by taking on our burdens, our sins, for the sole purpose of being the bridge to reconnect us with God. Friends, that's a huge sacrifice. If Jesus can do that for all of us, we can certainly stand up to the challenge ourselves. Friends, there is a lot of tragedy in this world. A car accident leaves a family grieving over the loss of a 12-year-old boy. A surfing accident takes the life of a 17-year-old. A bee sting takes the life of a school teacher. Others died in motorcycle accidents, mountain climbing, flying in airplanes, drowning, having a seizure while crossing the road, hunting accidents, you name it. Anything can happen to us. Maybe their lives aren't lost, but some of their limbs are, or spinal injuries keep them from ever walking again. Statewide, nationwide, worldwide, there are tragedies going on in every few minutes, all day long, 24/7. Families are changed forever when someone has a tree fall on their house and they are seriously injured, or cars are swept up in tornadoes with people still in them. Families of dying or disabled soldiers. A friend loses her job and can't find work. Another loses a beloved dog. A mother who is fading with Alzheimer's. Another is weeping over a child with drug addiction. Cancer victims praying for a miracle. Others dying slowly of loneliness, wondering why no one looks into their eyes and no one cares. Friends, if we know anyone, we know someone who is hurting. Maybe outwardly, maybe silently. So where is God during these times of great suffering? Friends, God is there, by our side. God is omnipresent, meaning God is everywhere at the same time. God is omnipotent, which means God has unlimited power and is able to do anything. God is omniscient, meaning God is all-knowing in the sense that He is aware of all things, past, present, and future. God is not confined to one space. It is God who created the universe from nothing, gave sight to the blind, and raised the dead to life. All power is in God's hands. Do you think He can't or won't help you? Do you think you are not important in God's eyes? That's simply not true. God is a God of love, a God of purest compassion, a lover of all, even the most unlovable. Yes, friends, there are tragic deaths, terrible, relentless diseases, violent crimes, innocent children being harmed in various ways, spousal abuse, natural disasters, racial injustices, many, many sad endings to thousands of seemingly unanswered questions. And we wonder, is God listening? And the answer is yes. He listens. He hears all of us. Everything happens in this life for a reason, a season, or a lifetime, just as people come in and out of our lives in very much the same way. We just have to trust God that He knows the end result. God does hear us, and He cries with us, and He comforts us, understanding with a love that we cannot fully comprehend. Though our grief in the grand scheme of things is only temporal, it is yet still very real. Any of you who suffer from chronic pain can attest to the fact that it can be anything from mild to severe that just doesn't go away. Shooting, aching, burning, electrical sensations, discomfort, tightness, stiffness or soreness, or all of the above. Whether it is fibromyalgia, immune disorders, rheumatoid arthritis, osteoarthritis, cancer, carpal tunnel, tendonitis, back pain, spinal stenosis, heart stenosis, chronic headaches and migraines, structural deformities, degenerative diseases, whatever your situation is. It can have some psychological long-term effects. And with the added stress on the brain, it can also cause more problems, such as cognitive functions affecting your mood, your memory, and your concentration. But through all of this, is Jesus enough to get you through it without giving up? And with that said, the Bible tells us in James 4:8, to draw nearer to God, and He will draw nearer to you. I know it must feel like the heartbreak in your life is trying to break you down. Sometimes it can feel as if a sharp force is cutting through skin and bone, and you are left wondering if you will ever be able to function like a normal person again. Pain is a reminder that the real enemy is trying to take us out and bring us down by keeping us stuck in broken places. Pain is the gift that motivates us to fight with brave tenacity and fierce determination, knowing there is healing on the other side. Pain is the invitation for God to move in and replace our faltering strength with His. Friends, we must invite God to help us survive the desperate in-betweens. Sometimes people will try to camouflage the pain by doing ungodly things, and though it may numb the suffering, it actually imprisons us. It disconnects us from so many things. It even steals the best in our relationship with God. In Psalms 91:1, the Bible tells us, "Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty." Lord, draw closer to each and every one of us. Friends, God is truly in control. If God is God, then nothing happens apart of His knowledge and permission. While it is difficult to imagine why God allows some painful things to happen, His character, revealed in the Bible and through the testing of generations, leads us to the conclusion that He is willing and able to sustain you during the worst of times. 2 Corinthians 1:8 and 9 says, "We were crushed and completely overwhelmed, and we thought we would never live through it. In fact, we expected to die. But as a result, we learn not to rely on ourselves, but on God who can raise the dead." Friends, there is an eternal life to come. What we suffer now is nothing compared to the eternal glory He will give us later. God will keep you strong right up to the end. Our story isn't finished yet. Time after time, the Bible records hopeless situations that ultimately end in victory. God has not given up on you, so don't you give up on Him. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." Friends, there is likely a purpose in your pain. Ask God to reveal that purpose in this difficulty in your life. Often the answer comes in the process of dealing with your circumstance. In James 1:2-4, the Bible tells us, "Dear brothers and sisters, whenever trouble comes your way, let it be an opportunity for joy. For when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be strong in character and ready for anything." Friends, know this. You are loved. God sees your pain and weeps with you. Your prayers are heard. In Matthew 7:9-10, the Bible says, "You parents, if your children ask you for a loaf of bread, do you give them a stone instead? Or if they ask for a fish, do you give them a snake? Of course not. If you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask Him? Even in the birds of the air, God takes care of each and every one of them. How much more valuable to Him are we? Friends, you're not facing this alone. In Matthew 13, 5 and 6, the Bible says, "For God has said, I will never fail you, I will never forsake you." That is why we can say with confidence, "The Lord is my helper, so I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me?" Others have made it through similar difficult times, and you can too. Have the power to believe. Trust in God. Have faith. Try to connect with others, perhaps a church family member, that have gone through similar situation. You can find encouragement there. In Ecclesiastes 4:12, the Bible tells us, "A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken." And as we wrap up today's message, I want to say one last thing. Reach out to someone else who's struggling. Place your focus on someone else and invest your time in him or her. You may find that your peace of mind is found in being a source of hope for someone else. In Corinthians 1, 3 and 4, the Bible tells us, "All praise to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the source of every mercy and the God who comforts us. He comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort others. When others are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort God has given us." And so I ask each of you again, if something tragic happened to you tomorrow, or perhaps something has already tragically happened to you that has been a game changer in your life, is Jesus enough to sustain you through all the rest of your days here on this earth? Let us bow our heads in a closing prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you that through your grace we can come boldly into your holy presence with full confidence in knowing that you can take the pain away. Your word says that what is impossible for a man is possible for God. We ask for those who are suffering today, please intervene with your supernatural power to heal us and make us whole again. We ask for your peace that comes from your perfect love to come wash over us. Fill us with your strength and lift the burdens off of us. Jesus came to set the captives free, and we ask that you release us from the stronghold this suffering has upon our bodies, our souls, and our mind. Please restore our health. We trust you to strengthen, renew, and help us to get through this. We pray that for those suffering and dealing with tragedies in their lives, that the pain would leave their bodies right now. In Jesus' name, thank you for all these prayers in advance. In Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, amen. Friends, don't give up. God bless each and every one of you and your families. May God keep you and protect you and your families. Until next week, same time, same place, I hope each and every one of you have a great week.
When the giants tower over my faith, and I'm frozen by the battles I face, there is just one place I go to be saved. In the shelter of your wings, you cover me. And it's here my rescued heart begins to sing. There is just one place I go to be saved. Oh,
still in your hands.
promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness, faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my call. I never will forget.